Scripture reading this morning was taken from Genesis 25, verses 29 through 34. And I'll be reading from the ESV. Once when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stew, for I am exhausted." Therefore his name was called Edom. Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright now." Esau said, "I am about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me now." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see everybody out this morning. Appreciate your being here and your willingness to worship God this morning. And just a reminder, I am not the regular evangelist. Don Wright is in Texas this week, so he should be back next week, Lord willing. And there's a few things I want to talk about this morning that we're all familiar with. In fact, I believe I did a lesson on this subject a few years ago, and it's something that can never be talked about too much, I don't think. It's something that we all need to keep in mind and remember on a regular basis. In fact, probably a daily basis. So I want to start with a picture. And this picture can do a lot of things for you. It can make you think of a place that you've been before that looked like that. It can make you think of something that brings you joy or brings you happiness. It looks like a good picture, right? There's a lot going on there. There's some flowers in there. There's a sunrise. There's some mountains, some greenery. But everyone has a different opinion on what brings them happiness just in this picture alone. For you, it might be the flowers. Maybe someone else, it's the mountains. But we all have a different idea of what happiness is in our lives. How about this picture? Another good picture of nature that could bring us happiness, right? Maybe you see this picture differently than a happy picture. Maybe you see this picture as being cold. It looks pretty cold right there. Maybe you look at it as work. You know, hiking a mountain like that could be a lot of work. Maybe it's not your cup of tea. Maybe you can't swim. You don't like water at all. You're going to hate the next picture. Maybe you look at this picture and you think, that's a perfect way for me to sprain my ankle. We all have different ideas of happiness. Here's one that has a lot of water. A lot of times we have pictures on our wall of a beach scene or a picture of water or a sunset even. A lot of people enjoy sunsets. They enjoy the water, the palm trees. Maybe it's just the colors in this picture that bring you happiness. Some very vibrant colors. People like pastels, right? A lot of people like those. It's a common day for that. What does that mean to us? Well, it could mean a lot of things, but usually it means, hey, spring's here. They're kind of spring colors, right? That might bring you happiness. The next slide is a controversial one, but I had to put it up here anyway. The next slide is about food. I actually couldn't find a picture of this. I had to make AI generate this for me. But I think it's a good picture. You know, you think, you look at this picture and you think, oh man, what a waste of donuts. But There's a lot of sprinkles and icing there. It might make you happy to see a donut, right? Who doesn't look at a donut and it makes them happy? How about the next one? Reading your Bible. That's something that should make us happy, right? It really should. How much happiness does that bring you? To read your Bible, something very simple. Is it a chore to you? Is reading your Bible something that you have to dedicate time to every day and say, I'm going to spend some time doing this, and it's another part of my day. I have to put it in my schedule or it's never going to get done. And it becomes monotonous to you. It becomes a chore. Does it maybe seem like work that you're required to do this and you have to keep doing it? If that's the case, you may want to shift your attitude about it. Maybe you don't read your Bible unless you're here at church. I'm guessing there's not a lot of spiritual happiness in your life then, is there? It's probably mostly physical happiness. Why is that? Well, that might be your focus. If your focus is not on spiritual things, then it's probably on physical things. So what brings you happiness? It's a very good question that I think we all need to examine. Abraham Lincoln said, most people are about as happy as they make their minds up to be. You have to make up your mind sometimes to be happy. If you're in a bad situation and you're not having a good day at all, you're having a bad day. It's hard to be happy, right? It's hard to force yourself to make up your mind to be happy. Are we going to be happy every single minute of every single day of our entire lives? No, that's not realistic. But what do we do in a bad situation when something bad happens to us? What do we do about that? Do we keep a positive attitude? This is a quote from a preacher in Florida, and actually, in coincidence, it's the same guy that has the bulletin this morning. Don put his bulletin in there. It's called, Why Should We Go to Church? So I recommend you read that. But he also said, happiness is a lifestyle, a state of being. It can't be purchased or earned. It's not a place to which you can travel. It's a perspective. We should choose whether to be happy or sad in every aspect of life. There's a lot going on in this quote here, but each of these things that he mentions that can't be purchased or earned, and it's not a place that you can travel, those are temporary things. Brings you temporary happiness, right? Going on a trip somewhere should bring you happiness. It's very temporary. Why? Because you got to go to work the next day. Or you got to take care of the house and clean the house. You got to do something. You're back into your normal life, right? You can't buy happiness. You can't earn happiness. It's like he says, it's a perspective. We choose happiness. We choose happiness. We choose whether to be happy or sad in every aspect of our life. So this kind of a temporary happiness is very, very different from a permanent happiness. And how do we find a permanent happiness? That sounds impossible, right? How can you have happiness all the time? There's a way. We're gonna look at that. But I want to look at an example of someone in the Bible who was happy despite what happened to him. Despite the bad things that happened in his life, this person was happy. And I know who you're thinking of, and it's not him. Maybe it is. It's Joseph. we look at Joseph's life, which a lot of bad things happened to Joseph. Maybe not as many bad things as happened to Job. Job had a lot of bad things that happened. I easily could have put him up here too, right? But Joseph had a lot of bad things happen to him. This was one of the only pictures I could find that was not animated of Joseph or, you know, drawn out or something. This does not necessarily mean you need a coat of many colors to be happy. That is not a requirement, but might make you happy. I don't know. So Joseph, he went through a lot of bad things. He was sold by his brothers into slavery. Let's look at Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. And beginning with verse 3. Genesis 37 verse 3 says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his sons, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more." Sounds like they didn't like him very much, right? Sounds like they despised him. What was the result of this? Skip down to verse 17. Verse 17, he goes out looking for his brothers, talks to a man, and the man said, "They have gone away, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.' So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, 'Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams.' But when Reuben heard it, he rescued him out of their hands, saying, 'Let us not take his life.' And Reuben said to them, 'Shed no blood, throw him into this pit here in the wilderness. But do not lay a hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand to restore him to his father.' So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore. And they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty and there was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat. And looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, with their camels bearing gum, balm, and myrrh, and on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, 'What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh.' And his brothers listened to him." Joseph dodged a bullet there, right? He was almost a dead man. His brothers were intent on killing him. They hated him that much. They wanted him to die. Luckily, he had a couple brothers that kind of had a good head on their shoulders. That said, "Hold on a minute, guys. Let's back up for a second. Let's not do this. Let's do something else." No, they didn't say, "Let's release him, because he's our brother." They said, "Let's sell him off. Let's sell him to these guys. They'll take him. He'll be gone. We won't have to deal with him. He's out of our lives." And they sold him into slavery. How much happiness would that bring you if your family did that to you? Probably not very much, right? He was then purchased by Potiphar, like he was some sort of a good to be traded. He was put in charge of the house and then wrongly accused of sexual harassment. Let's look at Genesis chapter 39, a couple chapters over. Genesis 39, and verse 10. Genesis chapter 39 and verse 10 says, "And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her or to be with her. But one day, when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was there in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. And as soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and he had fled out of the house, she called to the men of her household and said to them, 'See, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice.'" Bad situation to be in, right? Joseph was not in a good place. Not a good thing. And could he have prevented that situation? I don't know, maybe. It says earlier there that she did this day after day. This was a continual thing. Could he say something to his master? Doesn't really have any proof. Would they believe him? I don't know. He could have tried to do something, but it might not have ended well either. Either way, he was in a bad situation. But he did run away, right? He was in this bad situation, knew that this was not going to end well, and he got out of there. He resisted the temptation. That's something to keep in mind as well. Down in verse 19. Down in verse 19 it says, "As soon as his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, 'This is the way your servant treated me,' his anger was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it." So his reward for being a good servant was he was put in prison. The keeper of the prison knew Joseph was a good guy. Maybe he even believed that he didn't actually do what he was accused of. He put him in charge of the prison. God was still looking out for him. The Lord was with him. It says there in verse 23. How would we react to being unjustly put into prison? That'd be terrible, right? To be accused of something you didn't do. There's a lot of people that happens to. It's possible. How would you react to that situation? What kind of an attitude would you have? Would you be happy? Joseph was still happy. Let's look at chapter 40 of Genesis. Genesis 40, and beginning in verse 4, says, "The captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them. They continued for some time in custody. And one night they both dreamed, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each his own dream, and each dream with his own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers, who were with him in custody in his master's house, 'Why are your faces downcast today?'" The King James Version, I believe, says sad. Why are you sad? Well, Joseph, we're in prison. Did you miss that? No, he didn't. He knew where he was. He was in prison with them. He was still happy. He wasn't sad like they were. He had a good attitude about it. Can you even imagine having a good attitude about being wrongfully imprisoned? That would be a very hard thing to do. But how did he do that? How did he have that good attitude? Joseph was happy because he made the best of the bad situation that he was in. How often are we in bad situations? That we're just dealing with something in our lives that is not good. Maybe it's our health. Maybe it's something with our family. Something that's not going well. Maybe our job isn't going well. School isn't going well. There's a lot of things in our lives that don't go well, right? Why is that? Well, that's just life. Life isn't perfect. Life is not always sunshine and rainbows. There's bad things that are going to happen to us. But he made the best of the situation that he was in. And if you're in a bad situation, that happens every now and then, right? It's usually not all the time. But if you constantly feel like the world's against you, you're not doing well, things are always bad, maybe it's not the situations. Maybe it's your attitude. Maybe it's something you can change. And your attitude you can definitely change. Joseph was happy because he trusted in God. God was with him. God helped him through that. He helped him through those situations. How much do we trust in God? Most of us here could probably say, yeah, I trust in God. I trust he's going to help me through this life and give me the reward that he's promised, right? We're all promised that home in heaven if we are faithful to him. But do we trust in God for everything in our lives? Every single thing? Or is it just occasionally that we trust in God? Just some of the things that we trust in him. We can trust in God for everything. And Joseph was happy because he was satisfied doing the will of God. Are we satisfied doing what God wants us to do? Or are we motivated to do our own thing? Are we motivated to do what we want to do? There's a lot of things that I would like to accomplish in my life. I've talked about that before. Everybody's got a bucket list, right? Something that I'd really like to do that. That sounds like fun. Is that God's will? Not always. It's something I want to do. I want to go see something. I want to go do something. How often are we doing what God wants us to do? Do we fit God into our lives? Or is his will for us the priority? Do we strive to do what God wants us to do? And if we can fit it in, we'll do something we want to do. What's our priority? Joseph's priority was doing the will of God. You notice, though, Joseph didn't really push himself to be successful. He was very successful in what he did. He was eventually rewarded for going through all of this pain and suffering. It just kind of happened to him. Why? Well, because he put God first. He made God the priority. If we do what God tells us to do, he's going to take care of us. Let's look at Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50, this comes first full circle for Joseph here, down in verse 19. His brothers come back to him, and they they need something from him. With the famine and everything going on, they needed help. And it comes down to this. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 19. But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. Do not fear, I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. The same people that wanted him dead. They tried to kill him. They sold him into slavery. They sold him off. Like he was a bag of wheat or something. And he treats them like this and says that he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. How many of us would do that to someone who sold us into slavery, to be kind to them? That would probably be pretty hard to do, right? So regardless of what happened to Joseph, he was happy. He made the best. Let's look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 2. James chapter 1 and verse 2 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." This is exactly what Joseph did. He was faced with various trials. He was faced with testing of his faith, wasn't he? I would say Joseph's faith was definitely tested. But he kept his faith, and he counted it joy when he went through those things, didn't he? He kept his happiness. We can do that too. It takes some work. It's not going to be easy, but we can do that too. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." So we see here that no matter what happens to us, some of the things that happen to us work for good. Actually, he says all things work together for good. So when we think that we're having a bad day, we think that something terrible is happening to us, we think, how could it be me? Why is it me? There's a reason for it. There's a reason that things happen to us. Sometimes the reason is life just happens. It's the randomness of life. There's diseases out there. There's cancer. There's things that want to kill us. Animals, people. There's bad things out there, right? Sometimes that happens to us. But all things work together for good. Whatever the purpose is, we may not know. We may have no idea why that bad thing happened to us. We may never know in our lives. But maybe somebody else sees what happens to us, and they see how we deal with it. They see that we have a positive attitude no matter what happens in our lives. That's something that's hard to do. That's something that most people can't do. To have a good attitude, no matter what happens in your life, to stay happy. When other people see that, they realize, maybe I can do that too. Maybe I can stay strong and be happy no matter what happens to me. It's extremely difficult to do. But it's possible. We can do it. It's possible. And then down a few more verses in Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. Romans 8 verse 37 says, "No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Those are pretty powerful verses. Joseph didn't have those verses, but he still had a good attitude. We have these verses, but do we have a good attitude? It tells us that nothing in all creation will separate us from the love of God. His love is always there for us. He's always willing to forgive us if we repent of our sins. No matter what we've done, we can have forgiveness. The love of God is always there for us. No matter what happens in this life, we can be happy. Knowing that nothing can separate us from God except ourselves. It's our choice what we do with our lives. The world's view of happiness. I could have put 1,000 pictures up here that showed material possessions. A mansion with a bunch of really expensive cars. I believe there's at least 2 Mercedes in there. A Ferrari, a Lamborghini, and a Porsche. Those are cars that most of us will never have. Most of us will never have a house that big. Can we still be happy without this? Of course. Of course we can. Would it be nice to have a giant house? Maybe. I don't want to clean it, do you? This is the world's view of happiness, though. They strive to go after these things. They strive after possessions. What happens when someone buys something? Someone goes to a store and buys something. Well, that's the last thing they're ever going to buy, right? No, you go back and you buy more. The world wants success, and I put that in quotes because success means a lot of different things to different people. Success to some people could mean a giant mansion with a whole bunch of cars. Do you have any idea what the taxes are on that thing? Anyways, success is different for everyone. We look at this and we might think that person's successful. Are they, though? Chances are their family, there's probably some problems, right? Most likely there is. There's probably problems in their family. Is their life perfect? No. No one's life is perfect. Is this person happy? Pleasure. The world is constantly striving for more pleasure. For drinking and drugs and whatever else they can come up with to make them happy or what they think is happy. There's no limits to the happiness that you can have if you have all those things, right? No, that's not true. That's not true at all. There's some people that, I think there was even a t-shirt that was developed I'm probably dating myself because it was probably a long time ago, that said no limits on it, right? That there's no limits. Are there no limits in this life? For some people, that makes them happy. That there's no rules and I can do whatever I want. That's not what God says. What is our view of happiness? What is the Christian's view of happiness? Let's look at Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. Revelation 21, verse 1 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away.'" We're basically promised eternal happiness. Right? That's what he's telling us here. There's no more crying. There's no mourning. There's no pain. Everything we deal with here on this earth is gone. It's essentially eternal happiness. How awesome is that? We can have happiness for all of eternity, forever, if we just do what God wants us to do. Philippians chapter 4 sums it up pretty nice. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. Philippians 4 verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The peace of God that we can have just knowing that eternal happiness is waiting for us. That reward in heaven is waiting for us. That should give us peace in our lives, right? No matter what happens to us, no matter what happens in our lives, all of the bad things don't really matter. We have eternal happiness waiting for us if we obey his will. If you make your life right with God. Are you right with God this morning? That's a yes or no question. That's not a, well, sometimes. Yeah, sometimes. It's all or nothing with God. He doesn't say you can do whatever you want 5 days a week, 6 days a week. As long as you're here on Sunday, like I've told you to be, and you worship me, it's fine. He didn't say that. We need to follow after him daily, all the time, doing everything that he has commanded us to do. If you do that, you can have eternal life. If you're not a Christian, you do not have the possibility of eternal happiness. You have to be baptized for the remission of your sins. The Bible tells us that. If you are baptized and your sins are washed away and you remain faithful until death, you'll have that home of eternal life. If you have sin in your life, fix that today. If you're not a happy person, fix that today. You can be. You should be. We all can be. Whatever you need to do to make your life right with God, come to the front and stand as we sing the song.